and welcome to Relatable. This is your host, Teresa Freeman. We are back after a brief hiatus and happy to announce our third series, Accountability and Success. Most of us want to crack the code on how to be successful. After spending a lot of my career observing professionals and working with various clients, I have found a significant correlation between personal accountability and success. As a reminder, our experts for this series include Lennis Moynihan, licensed clinical professional counselor, Karen Schaefer, executive, former CIA, and board advisor, Vivian Dixon, talent acquisition executive, LaQuenta Jacobs, HR executive and diversity expert. In this episode with Lennis Moynihan, we talk about how accountability shows up in relationships, at work, and also as an individual. Great insight shared in this discussion. Enjoy this episode. Welcome back, Ms. Lennis Moynihan. Thank you so much for joining me for our third topic around accountability and success. This one's kind of tricky in that I think our other two topics were kind of easy to talk about in terms of just kind of being on the nose, right? Because we talked about living without fear, which was a great conversation of kind of breaking into that. And our first one, I think, was a bit more about kind of owning your own space and being more like confident and kind of just who you are, right? And this one, the reason why I want to have this conversation is in my own experiences of feeling like, just to make it personal, like at times in my life when I held myself accountable or someone else held up a mirror, and maybe I didn't want to see it, but I could, and I could kind of take that in and be accountable. That has led to success in different ways. And so I think, you know, as we look at it through these different lenses, and I love talking with you because you have this interesting viewpoint coming from a therapeutic lens, you know, I feel like might have even some cool inside view and inside scoop into kind of how we operate, where it's like where you've seen maybe people that do this and you know, have some success versus like if they're struggling with this, how it might impact them. So maybe like, I'll just start with a question around, maybe we'll just start with the accountability aspect first. When you think about it in kind of your, with your clients or that therapeutic lens, what have you seen as it relates to, you know, someone being accountable? Maybe what does that even look like? Mm-hmm. We'll start there.
Well, the one thing I just thought of when bringing this up was the codependent triangle, persecutor, caretaker, fixer, you want to call it. Okay. And then, when you think about accountability in these codependent roles, right, that people get into, you do it in relationship, in marriage, you can do it at work, you can do it in friendships. I mean, it can, if that's going on in your life, it's going to follow you wherever you are. There is, in this weird way, there's really no accountability because everybody's playing a role. And so when you start doing your work in therapy, and you start to kind of unearth what are those patterns that I have, right? It's kind of taking your power back. It doesn't matter what role you're playing in the triangle. You know, I used to think, oh, this is more negative than this. They're all the same. They're just, right, they're different roles. Taking your accountability back helps you to change that role, like if that dysfunctional role that we're looking at. This is just small example, but the whole work around therapy, right, is that you having to take accountability for what's going on in your life or what the perception you're having in your world, what's working, what's not working. You can never change anybody else. So the only person you can be accountable for is self. And if you're looking for change, right, the more you understand self, the more you gain insight and self-awareness, right, equals, it doesn't seem like it, but it does equal accountability because now you're owning this is me, this is my stuff. And listen, part of that too is, well, okay, let's say this is something I do and a lot of people don't like it. Well, I actually like it and I'm not going to change it. And I recognize, let's say this behavior, for example, might cause more conflict with people, but I like this part of myself. Accountability doesn't always mean you're making changes, right? That
yeah,
either other people are hoping you're going to make, or that it's going to show up in a different way, right?
Yeah, it's interesting too. I feel like one of the things, as someone who's been in therapy at different junctures, different times in my life, early days, like when I was younger, if I'm honest, I was probably performing a bit in therapy. And I found more recently to get the most out of it and for it to be a true and real experience, I had to hold myself accountable to really be me. Like really, like all the ugly, the things that we try to cover are, you know, you think about you covering all the time because it's just, I think maybe human nature and what's allowed out in the world, you know? And so that's another piece you and I were chatting before we hit record, but I do think in the first step of saying, I do want to talk to somebody and I know that there's something I can do to affect change. And that is being accountable to yourself, I think. And
yeah,
then,
but did you say ugly? All the parts that are ugly? Because that's not, the whole story isn't the ugly part, you know.
Wait, maybe you care.
Judgment.
Yeah.
You know what? I think this setting a boundary, for example, if you're surrounded by people that don't want you to set a boundary, they're not going to like it when you start setting a boundary, and they might call that ugly.
Right.
Right. And so has that kind of been the imprint? And then all of a sudden, when you're unearthing all this stuff in therapy and you recognize I'm not good at setting boundaries and they're not respected because these relationships I've created, they
yeah.
You know they can walk over them. That's not ugly. It's just interesting that you chose a negative.
I chose ugly because for me, where I think I was more performative was in being more vulnerable and real. I think I would sort of go into a therapeutic situation because I'm very good at it and could read the therapist quickly. And then I sort of can talk a good game with respect to introspective thinking because that's how I like to, you know, versus like kind of coming at it a little bit more vulnerable and open and with feeling for me, because that's where when I say the ugly, that for me was sort of the part that I kind of walled off. For other people, I think it's, you know, whatever those things are that you kind of, that are maybe, you know, ugly to yourself that you kind of want to repair. You know, you don't, you know, it's like for me, I found that to be hugely successful. Then we make that link to success and it's just freeing. And then you feel more whole, you feel like oneself, you know, to be able to kind of go after things in the world. I feel like
I can't get off that you, because like now I want to do a therapy session with you around that's so interesting that you're calling this hidden part of yourself ugly.
Okay, we could do that. We could do a little,
I just am saying it's an interesting. It's interesting. I kind of get what you're saying, but it's also, it's very judgmental.
Yeah.
Saying, well, this, and the hidden part of you is because, right, of how you grew up or, right, coping skills that you learned or being performative. This is what got you seen or, right, whatever that did to get you things.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean the things that were hidden are negative. It's just interesting to me that you used a negative phrase, self that's hidden.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, like,
maybe that's not what you meant, but of course that's what I heard.
What you heard. Yeah. No, I think that's totally fair. I think that it's, for me, the performative aspect, you know, was maybe a covering, you know, and so for me to be more accountable to myself, I made a conscious choice to say, I'm really going to try not to cover. I'm going to just.
Yes. And that's
You know.
I think this thing around judgment when we are on this journey and we're finding self, I think it's so important to recognize, well, the performing part of you, it got you a lot of things in your life that you wanted, that you needed, got you here, motivated you, right? Like, I think it can become enticing to, when you're doing the work, to almost be like, well, these coping skills that I learned in my dysfunctional family, let's say, that were completely out of balance. Okay, I'm agreeing with you, but it almost becomes this judgment around then that that is what you led with, when that is probably part of your character. And so that's probably why you use those coping skills.
Yeah.
That, right, there's good things that come out of it.
Yeah.
The thing is then learning, how do I balance it? Because listen, sometimes I do, right? Sometimes I'm in a situation and I am going to have to perform,
right?
There are situations that I go work, whatever it is. There's a certain, listen, there's a mask we all do when we go to work. I mean, there just is.
Right.
And like, this is a strength in that situation.
Yes.
I think it's help, you know, because I think we do tend to, it's black and white. It's all good or bad. Where it's like, wait a minute, this is a strength, but I want balance.
And I think one of the things I'm learning, which I'd be curious if this is something that you have found, at in terms of like all the disparate pieces of the person, like that you think is you, and then the education is like, oh, you're all the things,
right?
Like you, yes. I am performative, and I can be genuine and real, and I can be norm, you know, not non-performative.
Vulnerable.
Like, yeah. So I think when you think of clients that you've seen, or just, it doesn't even have to be client, right? Because you operate in this world with your friends and with family, you know, what do you think? Like, I think if we could give people some indication of what does it look like when someone isn't holding themselves accountable? Do you have, you know, I know you've maybe observed, you said you talked before, maybe in couples therapy, or, you know, maybe there's just a couple of scenarios where you can see, to help people frame, what does it look like when we're not holding ourselves necessarily accountable?
Whether you're a recent college grad entering the workforce or a seasoned executive navigating a transition, I'm here to help. I'm Coach T, and I specialize in helping you land the job, lead with impact, and love what you do. Let's get to work. Visit tfasoftskills.com to learn more. Now back to the show.
Yeah, I think couples is such a great place to go, because it happens a lot in couples and it happens a lot in marriages.
Okay.
That when the couple comes to therapy, it's usually one of the two individuals that have insisted that they go.
Right.
In a lot of cases, the person that insisted believes it's the other person. And if they just change and can see the issues that they have in therapy, that'll be great. And of course, that never happens, right? Because one, like we talk about, you can, like, I think the biggest thing, right? It's like a broken record. You can only change yourself. You cannot change anyone else. And I think sometimes this is hard to understand, because you're like, but when you come as a couple, you're thinking this is a couple problem. I'm not saying you don't ever have a couple problem. I have mixed feelings about couples work, because I think you need to do individual work. And when you do the individual work, you change. And then that changes the relationship. And in that work, you become accountable, right? So for example, I'm trying to think of a good example, like maybe a minor thing. Let's say one person wants a cleaner house than the other person. And let's say there's been a lot of fights around it or arguments. There has to come to some place, if the non-clean person doesn't want to change and the cleaner spouse wants a cleaner house, then that person has to start being more accountable for how they want their house to look. Now, this
not
is
waiting.
This is, I'm not saying, I think it's, you try to work for win-wins. You try to work for compromises. But there are some things, even in when you look at couples, for example, the one person is allowed to say, okay, I'm here. I actually am hearing you, but I'm not going to change. I'm not going to. I'm just not. It just isn't important to me, whatever it is. That's an example of then the other person either has to, they'll have to change and become more accountable for how they want the house to look, or they have to accept it. But this is just an example. It's a small example, but right.
Can I ask this question? And it, I think it could work with either couples or just someone that's seeing you individually. Do you, sometimes I feel like when we are frustrated with self or other people, then we come into a therapeutic situation or we're talking to a friend, doesn't have to be therapy, right? And we're very like, it's that person's fault or that institution's fault. It can be a work thing or that, right? And I feel like the, and you said it keeps coming back to self, but I think sometimes it's like, you've got to sort of pause and, and like really turn the mirror. And so to your like the cleaning thing is actually a good example because I think people can relate to that. And we have that here. Like Paul's, my husband's very clean and I'm kind of messy. And it is an interesting dynamic of like, it's important to him. I know it's important to him. So if I loved him, why can't I be more clean? Vice versa. It's not as important to me.
Right.
So if he really loved me, why is it such an issue for him? So regardless of like the hat you're wearing, I don't know. It's an interesting, and then it becomes really about communication.
Right.
And being able to say.
But the accountability piece that you're talking about, that's what I'm saying. It's not, the answer isn't always yes, right?
Yeah.
The accountability piece is, you know what? I tend to be messy. Like, let's say it's you and Paul.
Yeah.
Look, I've tried. You know, I've tried. I can't listen. I'll get me, myself and my husband, John, he makes lists. He is a list maker. I don't think I've ever made a list in my life. Okay. When something will come up and he'll be like, well, you should have made a list. And I finally said to him, okay, you go for a week without making a list and I'll make a list. And he was like, no. Right. Because in his mind, making a list is the right way to do it.
Right.
Well, it's right for you. It's not right for me. I'm never doing a list. I'm never am.
Yeah.
This isn't like life.
Yeah.
But
right. Right.
The example of I'm accountable that I get, I don't make a list. So sometimes, you know what? I might forget something at the store because I didn't do a list, but I'm okay with it because I'm not going to do a list. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I think what happens is a lot of times people think, well, when you start being accountable, right? It's always yes. Well, yes, I do that. So let me change. Well, okay. No, it means I'm willing to move some here, right? I can do that. Or you know what? I can't, no, it's just not, it's, I've tried it. I can't do it.
That's a great segue to, this is such an important thing, at least in my kind of more the world that I'm used to working in the professional space. And even with, you know, coaching clients and training and development, that kind of thing. What I think is so interesting is, and you said it perfectly, how bad do you want a thing? So I'm going to give an example because there's trade-offs. So if you decide, like you just said, if I decide I'm not making a list and I forget stuff at the store, and then I'm probably, even if it's joking, I'm going to get grief that I forgot the thing. And if you'd only made a list, right? You can play that out. So for me, I remember when I was assigned an executive coach later in my career. And one of the aspects of that role was to be a bit more politically savvy and to be more, I was asked to be thoughtful and strategic about some of the relationships I was forming and how I was forming those relationships. And I was like, ugh, you know, I was so offended that I felt like it wasn't a genuine thing. And I'm a genuine person. So you're asking me to act something that's not me. You know, it was a whole thing. I had a judgment against that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the coach said to me at that time, if you feel that strongly, you can make a choice. Sure. You don't have to do this aspect of the job. However, you want the promotion, you want the thing, you may be forfeiting that because you've decided that that's more, you know, so I think that's an accountability thing too, of like recognizing your part in what you're willing or not willing to do and what the implication is. And then not, this is what I think happens often. It's like, I'm not really honest about that. And I just blame the organization or I blame my boss or I blame someone else because I really don't want to do the thing.
Yes.
So I think, and I think that happens probably in relationships a lot too. Like I would think.
And also I think, especially when it comes to work, and this is this, I think accountability, when you're talking about it, the slippery slope is around when you're talking about work, especially.
Yeah.
You know, there, if you have a boss, I mean, there are certain things you have to do and you have to show up. And look, it may be a dysfunctional organization. And that's their observation. And you're working within that dynamic. It can be frustrating if then you hear someone say to you, well, you need to be accountable. Because there are certain things in that environment that aren't right or dysfunctional or aren't fair. And you have to kind of navigate that.
Yeah.
However, to your point, but you are always making choices in that environment. And that's what you can be accountable around.
Yeah.
To the point of, if it gets so bad, you decide, I don't want to be here. I can't.
Right.
Because I don't want to make it sound like you can be in environments, right, where they're, it isn't all you, right? Like it isn't, I don't want it to come across as, well, it's all you and it's, you know, because what then happens, I think sometimes, is you become overly self-monitoring, that you have to be responsible for everything. And then that becomes a burden. And that isn't what the goal is. It's more like you're saying in that workplace, like you said, I had to make a decision. He kind of really clearly showed me, well, which way do I want to go and what do I really want? But I am going to have to navigate this and I'll be accountable for which way I decided. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But
there are things beyond our control.
Sure. And I think this is a nice, like, as we kind of segue this into sort of the, you know, and I don't know that either one of us has like a clear recipe of if you're accountable in these ways, you will undoubtedly have success. I think it's more about, I have found personally and seen it observed in other people and I think you raise a really good point, whether it's you're holding yourself as an individual or maybe as a couple or as an organization, as a team, whatever that is, when you can do it and when you're aware of it, I do believe it breeds success and you kind of get momentum from doing that. And in the interest of like, you use the list between you and John, like if you come to a common understanding and then it becomes a joke and then it's not even loaded anymore, it's like, you're a list person. And like, now you've got humor about that. You know, we joke in the house all the time because I think poor Paul is the only neat one. God bless him. So, well, you know, it just is like, I'll make fun of myself and hope that that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think when you can sort of see it, so maybe that's the next question for you. It's like, how do you see it working well? And where do you see kind of success coming from that?
Want to grow your career the smart way and avoid the mistakes I learned the hard way? My book, Soft Skills I Learned the Hard Way, is packed with real talk, ready-to-use tips, and funny, relatable stories that make it easy to read for busy professionals. Whether you're just starting out or leading a team, this book's got something for you. Grab a copy at tfasoftskills.com. Now back to the show.
Well, I think victimhood never wins.
Okay.
And it doesn't ever work.
Okay.
And I think we talked a little bit about a lot of narratives have gone on in the society of late around that. And when we talk about self-esteem, self-worth, all these things come out of self-awareness, and in that is accountability, right? Accountability kind of allows self to kind of move in a way that ends up being successful and positive, because there is a huge area of self-awareness in being accountable. And the greater that becomes, the more authentic you are, and the more authentic you are in the world, the more comfortable, I would say, and centered and at peace you are. We talk about integration of self. So we talk about, you said, all those little parts, right? In therapy, the goal is to bring all those parts together, to be integrated. Like you said, sometimes I can be shy, but sometimes I can be super social, and so, you know, all these different things. But the more we understand self, that what you're talking about is that, like, let's say I'm in a work meeting, or I did, you know, I can be accountable that I made a mistake, right? Instead of, we're going to do a go around. Do you know me? And this is just an example. Let's say I'm using a work example, and let's say you made a mistake and then they didn't know it was you, and then you said you didn't. And let's say it was a big enough one that it turns into a, now you've gone down the rabbit hole, which you're eventually probably going to be found out that you made the mistake, and that could be a more dire consequence, right? Instead of you being accountable at the beginning and just saying, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
Look at that different outcome and think about just think about how you're feeling internally if you didn't own it.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, you're like walking around it when you can't breathe, and you get, you know what I mean? You're hoping you're not going to be found out.
Yeah.
Like, how long does that go on? Right. Like, right. So to me, accountability has to do with authentic self.
Yeah. Agree. And I think it's such an example. I love the mistake aspect, because I've seen this in less experienced people. I've heard it so much when I'm asked to come and do some training. There's something about mistakes and messing up where we're so afraid that we don't give enough effort. It's that weird delta of, like, if I give 80% instead of 100, or even 70, 90, whatever that is, like, there's some safety there. Or I overperform such that, like, I'm slowing things down because I don't want to make that mistake. So it's like pace becomes an issue because they're so worried about messing up. Right. And it's through the mess ups. I mean, it's just, that's how you grow. Some of my biggest mess ups were the best lessons. And so I do, and I feel like I feel very, I'm sure this happens with each generation, but I do feel so, I have a lot of empathy for this generation that's grown up with this magnifying glass on everything they're doing with the social media, and just, there's just such a, there's nowhere to hide. Like, because if you F up now, like, oh, someone can go put you on blast somewhere, you know, it's just so harsh. So I think there's a lot that's happening environmentally that kind of creates maybe the victimhood, or I don't know, but it's like, you got to kind of fight against it, I feel like.
Yeah. And also, let's say in the workplace, how do they handle a mistake, right? The more, you know, if you're in a pretty functional business, the response is, hey, it happens. Look, they might, you know, they might be upset at what, right?
Yeah.
But if you're in a toxic environment where you're going to pay, right? Yeah. If you make a mistake, or gosh, you know, so serious, you could even get fired. I get it. I get why you might not want to say I did that. Then of course you've got to question, why am I here?
Here. Yeah.
Why am I in such a toxic environment that I'm not even allowed to make a mistake. Mistakes are human. We all do it.
There's a couple of things that I've used that have really helped me. One, when I make a mistake, I think, and I'm in that where you talked about before, you feel it in your gut and you're like, oh my God, do I admit it? Do I hide it? Do I, like, find a way to, like, repair it without anyone knowing? I will say to myself, well, I always start at, like, 10 years. Like, does it matter in 10 years? Does it matter in 5 years? I always get to, like, will it matter in weeks?
Yeah.
So that helps me.
That's a, like, good one.
Orient what the thing is, really. Cause I think we catastrophize and we make it so much bigger. So that's one. And then the other thing, and I learned this early on, which has helped me a lot, I've used it a lot, is if you feel like you should know something, but you don't, I'll just say, talk to me like I'm a fourth grader. I'm sorry, I'm not aware. Like, I used to lie and say, oh, I know that author you're talking about. Oh, I've read that white paper. Oh, I know the latest on that. Now I'm like, I don't know. And it just frees you. And to me, that's holding yourself accountable. It's like, I don't have to pretend. Maybe that's part of it.
I will say, instead of lying, I will say it was the performer in you
Oh.
that felt, you had to know, right? Like, I already have to know everything, so I'm just going to go along, right?
Yeah.
I don't think you were, quote, purposely lying.
No.
Were, yeah.
Yeah, hiding. I mean, whatever the thing is,
hiding.
But like,
Hiding,
but
I
I,
like, but yeah, hiding.
yeah. And I think that's like, those freed me up a lot to just not be so, you know, to be accountable and see what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you just, maybe it's a control thing too. People are afraid.
Well, I
of.
think the performer thing and the perfectionism thing.
Yeah.
And like, kind of like you always have to be five steps ahead of everybody else. Right. Which comes out of, right, alcoholic
yeah.
families and dysfunctional families.
Yeah.
And kind of like, you're not allowed to say, oh, I have not heard of that author. Oh, let me put it on my list. That sounds interesting. I'd like to read it. Or I'm going to read it, but could you tell me more about it? But
Yeah.
If you're playing a role, right? Well, you can't do that.
Yeah, for sure.
And go back to accountability, right? You're being accountable by saying, I don't know this author. Can you tell me more about it? I'd really like to read more of their, you know, information. Right.
I love the connection you made. And it just, I swear, it just keeps coming back to this for me too. I love the connection you made between authenticity and this accountability, and how the more connected you are to your real self and like being that person in the moment that you are, you know, it is so freeing. It just alleviates so much anxiety or, so maybe that's kind of where we kind of wrap up. It's like, when you think about those, that intersection of accountability and success, it's like accountability plus being authentic equals success. You know, it's like, that's kind of the equation.
Yeah. And, what we talked about before we started was that doesn't always mean yes in the moment. Right. So let's say it's the workplace and you're really struggling and accountability equals success. It might mean you're looking for another job.
Right.
It doesn't always mean it's a win the way you think it's going to look.
Yes. Yeah. That's so important to note. Like we can't see the future.
Yeah.
And you don't know how it all connects together toward a successful outcome that you might not even be able to see yet.
Yeah. And I think when you're accountable to self,
mm-hmm.
right at the end of the day, you can say to yourself, well, I did the best I could.
Yes.
I honored my authentic self. I was accountable in these situations. And even if it seemed in the moment, let's say it was a negative review or a negative response or whatever it was, you can sleep at night knowing, no, I was accountable to me. I don't have control over the outcome. I have to leave that over here. I can feel good in myself that I advocate, because advocating for self, right, is around accountability, knowing what I wanted or didn't want to do. Like when he said to you, you've got to make one of these choices. Right. You can be centered in self saying, well, I did the right thing for me.
Right. Yeah. Love it. Thank you so much.
Hey, good
Fantastic.
Conversation. Yeah.
Thank you, relatable experts. Your advice and counsel is so valuable. Thank you, relatable audience. Please rate, subscribe, leave comments, and share this podcast with others. Until next time, this is Career Coach T. Stay connected.